2 hours ago with William Henry. We're going to also interject some of your phone calls with William throughout the night, because every time he's on, not enough of you can get through the lines because they're jammed all night. So we're going to open them up as well. Back with William Henry as we talk about the planetary enlightenment of 2012. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie tonight, Sunday night into Monday morning, with investigative mythologist William Henry as he gets our week rolling off here on Coast to Coast AM. William, your take, as I've asked everybody else, on 2012 and what you think is going to happen.
Well, we're morphing right now. We are metamorphosing, which means change. We've heard that word a lot lately, haven't we?
Yeah, we sure have.
We're like that cocoon transforming into a butterfly. And for me, 2012 is, it's like a bridge to, I think, one of the greatest evolutionary changes in human history. And I think, you know, it's important to know, I think there's many parallels between our present time and the time of the American Revolution. Because the new era that we're entering into or are in right now is going to require a shift from me-centered, from a me-centered point of view, to we. And at the same time, we're going from an Earth-centered to a cosmic or galaxy-centered view. Now, at the time of the American Revolution, they had just gone through the Age of Enlightenment. That was sparked by the recognition that Earth is not the center of the solar system. Earth is not the center of anything. The sun was the center. Copernicus entered into our consciousness this idea of the heliocentric view, the sun-centered view. The church didn't like it at all.
No, not at all.
Well, today, we know the sun isn't even the center of anything, that where our lives are, in fact, directed and oriented to the center of our Milky Way galaxy, to the black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. And in fact, our galaxy is connected to hundreds of billions of other galaxies in the universe. And so that's what 2012 is this recognition that, one, we're all in this together for sure, and that we are in the process right now of evolving rapidly. I mean, this acceleration is incredible, and our challenge now is to illuminate ourselves and to connect with visionary, mystic, and even mythical symbolism, such as we see in the U.S. Capitol, that can orient us towards becoming higher beings.
Ironically, you mentioned the sun, because I think 2012 could be some kind of solar celestial event. I think the Mayans may have been onto something with the sun, and whether it heats up or sunspots create problems, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I just think the sun will be very important to this 2012 event.
I agree. I am tremendously motivated right now to gather as much of this type of esoteric, mystical knowledge about my body and how to transfigure or transform it, because I too sense there are impending global cataclysms. I too recognize that within the next 3 to 5 years tops, somebody's going to want to come along and put a chip in the palm of my hand. And what I tell people is that in all the ancient texts, you look at Enoch, Elijah, you look at Ezekiel, the various prophets who perfected themselves, what they spent their lives doing was mastering the mythological lore of the stars, of star beings, of light beings, in hopes that one day they would be granted an interview, as they describe it, with their higher selves or with one of these light beings, one of these ascended beings. If you know the lingo, know the lore, and get the job, as did Enoch, Elijah, Ezekiel, they literally will put in the palm of your hand all of the sacred knowledge that you need in order to join the gods. That, it sounds egotistical perhaps, but that is my quest. And I believe I have less than 5 years to accomplish that before they want to chip us. And once they chip us, it's over with. You are not going to be transfiguring yourself into a Christ-like being. You are not going to become an enlightened or awakened being, because you will then be an iBod. You will be in a grid, the new souped-up internet that's coming online, and you will be completely controlled from birth to grave.
Catherine Albrecht would probably agree with you on that. You've had an opportunity, as you lecture around the country, William, to talk with a lot of 2012 scholars and experts who provide various views, different factions about this. Do any of them portray disaster for us for 2012?
Well, I haven't really spent a lot of time with the cataclysmic types. They're out there.
You're more of into the Enlightenment types, right?
Exactly. I'm recognizing that we have a tremendous opportunity here to gather this and awaken ourselves and, in fact, awaken the entire planet. And that's exactly what I see happening. And that's why I think it's so profound the way the word change is now in the American vocabulary. We've gone from three magic words, war on terror, to three new magic words, yes, we can. We can change. We can morph. We can transform this situation. And that's where I'm putting my energy and my emotion. And that's not a political statement. It's not saying I'm backing Barack Obama, but that is kind of the vibe that you get from Obama. And I'm saying, hey, it works for me because I don't like going to Egypt and being in a temple with people from 40 different countries and have them look down their nose at me because I'm an American. I don't like that. I want to change that.
Well, you know what? During World War II, it was different, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I think that, you know, we're starting to see these profound forces of change in our world. And again, change is the simple word that I use for the more, perhaps the extravagant word, morph or metamorphos, because that's what that was the message of Jesus. That's the message that Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, that in the end times, you will all be transfigured in the blink of an eye into a being of light. Well, okay, if you're thinking these are the end times, as many people believe, I'd make it my business to start gathering as much of this esoteric lore about the light body, about metamorphosing as possible, and that's what I'm about.
Let's take some calls as we continue the chat with you for the next couple hours, William. Dallas, Texas we go. Taylor, east of the Rockies. Hi, Taylor, go ahead.
Hey, I'm really enjoying the chat tonight, and I have a comment and a question. And,
absolutely.
It seems to me that the current way with national government is, in terms of psychology, let's say, ego-ridden. And I'm wondering if the metamorphosis that they are wanting people to go through is meant to be more illuminated in a true sense, in a non-material, perfected sense, or more like they... And the comment alongside that, I have a little bit of a cold, I'm sorry, is...
I hear you sniffling.
Yes. A couple of guaifenesin tabs help it out. But it seems to me that if they wanted this to be known, it seems almost that researchers, and you've done an incredible job researching, have stumbled upon this by accident, which is great, but it seems that if they want people en masse to be illuminated, that they would, A, advertise it in some sense and let the masses know, and B, not treat people like cattle to shuffle through their lines to see their place, which is how they, I think, always have viewed. Maybe they were a bit more pure at their beginning, at their conception, but and maybe they've grown a little bit worse over the years. But what do you take of that?
Well, I agree with that, and I think it is advertised. You see the U.S. Capitol dome every night on the news, but what you have to do is treat it like the bell that it is and start ringing that bell. Go to that door of that Capitol and walk in that temple and say, what is going on here? I think it's our individual right and our responsibility to find it for ourselves. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can go see this for yourself. And that's the point here, is that all of this symbolism is there right in front of us all the time, but we simply don't take the time, perhaps, to click on it, or we're not instructed from the time we're kids to see that, wait a minute, America in particular was created as a place of transformation. It was a place where, for the first time in history, or perhaps for a long time in history, individuals were free. You didn't have some king breathing down your neck. You weren't a serf. You weren't a slave. You had liberty. And what liberty meant to these founding fathers was the ultimate freedom. And the ultimate free man in their scheme is represented in the dome of the U.S. Capitol, George Washington, the apotheosized God being. And that's why I say, hey, come to the Capitol with me. lay on your back, look up into that gate of 72 stars at this God looking down at you, and recognize that he wants you to become one of these beings. And that's what America was set up as a place to do.
You know, getting back to Jordan Maxwell against William, he always sees some kind of code or symbolism in whatever he looks at.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How would these people concoct this? I mean, what kind of mindset would sit back and go, we're going to hide everything with these symbols and codes?
They're part of a lineage of artisans and symbolists going back into the ancient world that know that if you want to hide something, hide it in stone. Thomas Jefferson knew that his massive library, which became the foundation for the Library of Congress, he knew those books could be burned. So what did he do? He designed all of his universal wisdom into the architecture of Monticello and the University of Virginia, the buildings of the University of Virginia, knowing that, hey, if it's in stone, it has an opportunity, has a chance to last a lot longer than if it's simply written in paper. So these guys are true visionaries, and they recognize that these places have an impact on us. When you walk into a harmonically aligned and a geometrically designed through sacred principles building, it's working with you. Your body responds to that. And that's the point of putting it in these places, of putting the symbolism in places such as this. And then the symbols themselves, they speak to our emotional selves. And they want you to get out of the mind, get into your emotional self, and that's the level where these symbols can really start to seep in and do their work. You know, George, we were talking about the Capitol as a temple. One of the key things, I mean, in English, we use the word temple for any house of the holy. In ancient times, there were lots of different words for temple, but technically speaking, the word temple did not refer to the stone construction. The word temple referred to the drawing of the temple itself, because the belief was is that the drawing itself contained tremendous power, and if you could connect with the sacred geometry of the drawing, of that icon, it too would have an effect on you. And this is why, going back to the Anunnaki of ancient Sumeria, it was the gods that designed the temples. The design, the plans for the temple were brought down from heaven. Why? Because the temples were meant to connect you to heaven. And the temple is not just the stone building, it's also the symbols and the actual diagram of the temple.
Let's go next to Phoenix, Arizona. Doug is there with us. Hey, Doug, go ahead.
Hi there, George. When you look at the history of George Washington, you have a man who set the stage for the Civil War. You have a man who delivered the quagmire of civil rights on a platter. And you have a man who gave Barack Obama a blank check to the presidency. Now, do you see George Washington as a deity?
Do I see George Washington as a deity? I am personally not devoted to George Washington as a deity. I read the symbols in the U.S. Capitol of Washington as a deity and say, that is exactly what we're looking at. He, as a Freemason, in fact, his funeral was the ancient Egyptian rite of Osiris. He was believed to have become Osiris in the ascended realm. And so that's the perspective I'm operating from. I do not worship him. I do not necessarily think he is a god. What I'm saying is that the people who placed this symbolism inside the Capitol did believe that. And the message here is that you, too, can become a deified being.
Next up, let's go to Chris in Yuba City, California. You're on with William Henry, Chris, on Coast. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, I've got 2 points, so the first one's a little bit longer than the second, so I'll just jump right into it. I'm a big fan of history. I'm a big fan of especially religious history. And if you look at all of the cultures, especially the Egyptian culture, there's this massive sense of a cyclical nature, that there's a death, there's a rebirth, there's a travel from one world to the next, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when you look at Mayans and Aztecs and whatnot, you have the Ouroboros and the whole idea of just the cycle of life. And my point on that is I wonder, the 2012 reference that you made earlier, could it be perhaps that 2012 is not necessarily the beginning of a new era or even the end of the current era, but a return to year zero. Kind of a the way I picture it, because I'm a musician, is the coda in a piece of music. You get to the end, but you may, you know, have to go all the way back to the very beginning. And the second point that I wanted to make as well is that I draw a definite line between deities and ascended beings, much in the way that Jewish faith would draw the difference between God and angels. And I was wondering whether or not you were referencing more him, you know, George Washington or other figures as ascended beings or deities.
Well, I'm referring to more in the sense of a deity, because, again, the word apotheosis in this painting means the transformation of a man into a God-man, or the deification of the man. Now, people might want to differ on that. Newt Gingrich wrote a book on some of the capital symbolism, and he says that this painting portrays Washington ascending into the heavens. Technically, that's not correct. He's offering a kind of a skewed version of it. He's come up with his own definition of the word, but at the same time, it is descriptive of what he has done. And so the answer to your question is that you could look at it in either way, and people do. I think of him as a deity. Newt Gingrich says that he is, in fact, ascending. He is an ascended being.
Okay. And as far as the 2012 being cyclical in nature?
Oh, yeah. It's a culmination of a 26,000-year cosmic cycle, and perhaps we have been through these cycles before. I mentioned that in Statuary Hall of the Capitol, you have the Car of Time statue with Cleo, who is believed to be Isis, going across space and time. My friend and colleague John Major Jenkins, one of the primary 2012 scholars, author of Galactic Alignment and other books, noticed that the clock on that Car of Time actually sits over the sign of Sagittarius, which points to the galactic center. And so John is wondering if this is, in fact, an allusion to the 2012 alignment with the center of our galaxy, and would hint at this idea that the founders, or certainly the builders of the Capitol, had the idea of the precession of the equinoxes in mind when they put the 72 stars around Washington, 72 being a precessional number, and that they, in this Car of Time statue, were recognizing the cyclical nature of time, that the clock is continually going around, and now the time to pay attention to is when we're aligned with the center of the galaxy, which, of course, many believe is now.
Rennes-le-Château, when was the last time you were there?
2007. I was there in 2007. It was a wonderful trip. Had a chance to meet Henry Lincoln, who, of course, inspired his book, The Holy Blood, Holy Grail, inspired the Da Vinci Code. And I'm actually getting the bug to maybe go back again next year. I am doing tours of Egypt again in 2009 and also Ireland, but I might even dart over to France. We'll see.
William, of everything you've investigated over all these years, what's the most fascinating for you?
Golly, that's a really tough question. I mean, I continue to, of course, work on these ideas of the gates. I mean, that is the prime story in all myth and sacred traditions. But really, it's now moving into how we transform ourselves into these light beings. That's the focus now.
More conversations with William Henry when we come back, and your phone calls next hour. Full-fledged phone calls with William Henry on Coast to Coast AM. Now, don't forget to sign up for the free Coast Zone email newsletter. It's a great newsletter that you get for free. You just simply register for it by going to coasttocoastam.com and look for the section there that says Coast Zone. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Our special guest tonight, William Henry. Your phone calls next hour, full phone calls with William Henry as well. William, the Stargates, and let's go back to Stargates for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any tie-in with Stargates and the so-called Illuminati? I mean, do they know things we don't about things like this?
Well, when we use the term Illuminati, I presume we're talking about like an invisible, hidden kind of organization,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
From that perspective, I would absolutely say so. I mean, when you look at the course of human history, and what you see going back to from the very beginning is this interaction with beings who came from the stars. And when you look at the depictions that were left of these beings coming and going from the stars, they're not in shiny metallic ships. These beings are in coming and going through gateways. And we today call those gateways stargates. And so, of course, all of the religious and political authorities throughout human history have sought the secrets of these beings, and it would simply make sense. I don't have direct verifiable evidence because I've never been handed a business card from someone that proclaims himself like the salesman for the Illuminati or the controller of the Illuminati and say, this is what it's about. But hypothesizing here, yes, I believe that this is what it's all about for these groups.
Let's go to Carrie in Janesville, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hi, Carrie. Good morning.
Hi. Well, you know, as you were discussing the depiction of George Washington as our God, it occurs to me it's the parallel then of Abraham Lincoln as Jesus Christ is overwhelming as far as, his humble origins, the people who, sought to put Lincoln in office, sought to control him, and he in turn was a very independent man, but then he died in office for his service to us, to make us a united and a free nation.
Well, and again, this is the value of investigating myth and sacred tradition, because it leads you to the idea of the archetype, that throughout time,
exactly,
various individuals will embody these stories and enact the sacred drama of an Osiris, of a Jesus, of other figures. And I'm glad you bring up Lincoln, because when we're talking about the Capitol and especially the dome, it was Lincoln who caused this dome to literally be raised. It was during his administration when the dome was completed, and in fact, it was his body laying in state in the rotunda of the Capitol that forever has now, in American lore, made this hallowed ground. It's sacred ground because Abraham Lincoln's body was laid in state there, and after that time, all presidents have been, and a few other American dignitaries, have laid in state in the Capitol. And when we place Lincoln in there, that's a tremendous ritual that was enacted there when the people got to come by and see his body. The people brought tremendous spiritual energy to that event. And even today, when we lay presidents in state, that is a highly ritualized drama that goes back to ancient Egypt, in which the citizens of our country have an opportunity not just to pay homage to this president laying in state, but literally to provide him spiritual energy that will help in his ascension into the heavens.
Continuing that circle, like you were saying before.
Okay, thanks, Carrie. Is that you clicking there, William? Was that her?
I think that was her.
Okay.
Not hearing a click on my end.
West of the Rockies, let's go to you, Steve. You're on the air with us.
Hi, George and William. It's so nice to have you on the phone. And William, it makes me happy to hear you talking about 2012 as an opportunity for personal transformation and ascension. And I'm wondering if you're familiar with and what you think of Eric Pearl and the Reconnection and J.J. Hertog and his Keys of Enoch.
I've only met Eric Pearl. I haven't ever taken his workshop, read his book, The Reconnection, and I've met Dr. Hertog from time to time, and I think both of them are right on it with some very promising scientifically based information about transformation. And I applaud them for the stand that they're taking, too, to say, look, we have got to bring this ancient sacred science out into the open. Now is the time for this new dawn, which is an alchemical term for a rising of a new energy within our own consciousness. And that is one of the things that I'm asking people to do in terms of the Capitol. When you go into the Capitol and you're in the dome, another word for the human head is a dome. And in a sense, when you're looking up into that dome of the Capitol, you are kind of like in the human head. Well, at the center of the human brain and the human head is the pineal gland. And this is a gland that's getting a lot of attention right now and a focus around 2012. And if we can literally start to get our pineal glands ringing at a higher vibration, that will begin have a tremendously positive impact not only on ourselves, but also on our world. And I personally think of the pineal gland as the true liberty bell. When they're talking about liberty, they're talking about awakening our inner consciousness. They're talking about awakening the inner powers of freedom and achieving true liberty, which is enlightenment. That's what they meant by the word liberty, was enlightenment.
Terrific. Great.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good job there, William. Let's go next to Carol in Los Angeles. Hi, Carol.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I definitely agree with your speaker. I think he's right on. We need to come to perfection if we're going to avoid all this commotion. It seems like nobody's mentioning that the Bible says that we should pray to be worthy to escape all these things. I don't seem to hear anybody mentioning that. The Bible also mentions, by the way, that's in Luke 2:36. The Bible also mentions that if we obey his commandments, he promised to hide us. Nobody seems to mention that. And I'm very surprised at the church, because we have a minimum of 1,050 commandments. The church does not teach that. The church teaches less than 1% of the Bible.
Okay, well, one of the reasons why we're not talking about it tonight, Carol, is because we're not going in that direction right now. We're looking more at symbolism and secrets and codes like that. So I'm sure there's the Bible code, William.
Absolutely. You know, the commandments are easy. Love with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two primary commandments, and if you fulfill all those, you fulfill all of the other ones.
Carol, thanks for the comments. Flushing, New York. Hello, Pauline. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I was going to bring it back to what William Henry was saying. How do we get to ascension? And I've met somebody who's assisting some of us, and not many of us, who want to go there. And it is going to be off track, because that woman just mentioned how come we don't, you know, we're looking at the mind. I mean, that is something, or it's science. But don't forget, there's a heart, and the heart is the center of you. And this is the message that this person is trying to get us to connect to our spirit. I guess I'm not going to say it on the air. Obviously, you don't want that information.
You can email whoever this
may be. I will. I mean, I would love to email you, George Noor. You're going to be in the Conscious Life Expo where he's going to be presenting.
Sure. Okay.
I will send it to you. But I just want people to have that thought out there. It's
what makes him so unusual, Pauline?
He has been telling us that he has been the energy working when Christ was here, okay? And so this is connected to all of this. And he actually just did an expo in Philadelphia. So the funny thing is, when I heard William Henry talk about Memphis and D.C. and all the connections and the symbolisms, it's sort of, okay, I know he doesn't like to hear about the conspiracy, but he's telling us about the mind control that this planet is under to try to stop us to get to our core so that we can ascend, all of us, to get to our higher vibration. The secret, like Christ was always telling us, go inside your heart, listen to your spirit, because that's where you have that connection to the divine. And that is, even in all this New Age stuff, it's being so confused and it's being so convoluted, and like the Tower of Babel, we're all getting pulled in 10,000 directions instead of going inside your heart where you have this connection, all of us. And if we do go to maybe these stargates, maybe we will remember if we would just go in and quiet our minds and let ourselves connect.
If we go in, William, do we come out?
Yes, we do. And that's the big question. Where do you come out? And some of the suggested places are Sirius, Orion, the Pleiades, and certainly the Galactic Center is often mentioned as well. And I thought her comment was very appropriate, and I go into it in my presentation more in detail, that really what they taught us was to have our heart set on heaven. I mean, from the Gnostic perspective, and they talk about Mary Magdalene, she is said to be loved by Jesus more than all the other followers. And the reason why was because her heart was set on heaven. In other words, her heart was tuned to the stars. Her heart was set on set on becoming one of these ascended beings, and that is why she was considered to be his primary disciple. And ultimately, she's the one who received this transmission from Jesus concerning the nature of matter and salvation and of how we achieve or how the soul makes its journey into what they refer to as the kingdom of light. And it all starts, as she said, by getting your heart set on heaven's kingdom more than anything else. It's an attunement with the stars and a connection to the stars as opposed to the earthly material, the mental world, where today we're offered images of perfection as if you could go to a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon and somehow come out perfect. That is not the meaning of perfect. Perfect means a person who is on the path to achieving the light body.
Perfect it's within, person, isn't it?
Exactly.
When you go to conferences, do you have various topics that you talk about, or do you key in on one major subject matter?
Well, I try to mix it up. I mean, the U.S. Capitol work now is my primary focus, but I'm always working on the whole Stargate story. I continue to work on the ancient Egyptian work, especially as concerns the Pillar of Osiris, which I think is an ancient Stargate device. And so I can cover a broad array of material, really, because, I mean, my interests are so wide. I'm very much a generalist as opposed to a specialist, and so I can work in a lot of different angles.
When you were talking about most of this is now underground, this new facility that they've constructed.
The visitor center.
Yeah, the visitor center. I mean, how deep underground is it?
It's about, the ceilings in there are supposed to be around 40 feet.
That's huge.
It is huge, and I'm very much looking forward to getting into it. It just opened. I'm going up next week to do some exploration there and then also to do some more investigation in the Capitol. And I'm looking very much forward to it because, I mean, it should give us all a true sense of pride. Our Capitol, George, is gorgeous. It is a beautiful city. And in fact, the plans are for the next 100 years is to make it even more people friendly. They're going to get rid of all of the car traffic and all that in front of the Capitol, make it more of a parkway type setting. They've got plans for additional memorials and other facilities on the east side of the Capitol. It is going to be just breathtaking, I think, to see the developments in the Capitol, and it truly does give you just a wonderful sense of pride to go to D.C., to walk among the memorials, to see what has been put here for us as just a place of pure inspiration. And I know that Washington has been corrupted. I know all of that. I know all the conspiracy stuff. I keep up with all that. But at the same time, it's like, what's the point, man? You know, if it doesn't make you a better person, I don't have a whole lot of time, energy, and emotion for it, personally.
Okay, next up, let's go to Elizabeth City, North Carolina, west of the Rockies. Dustin, go ahead, Dustin. Well, you couldn't be west of the Rockies. How'd you do that?
Well, I have a Las Vegas, Nevada fund.
Okay, you're on.
Yes, it said about the taking the chip in the hand as the mark of the beast.
Yes.
I was wanting to say that everyone that has a Social Security number, is the information is kept in a computer called the Beast.
Yes, you are absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, William?
Oh, yeah. Yep, Jordan Maxwell. I mean, again, bless Jordan, the godfather. I mean, he taught me so much about all of this and how it works and how our body is viewed as an energy device, as a battery by these people, and they harvest this energy for us and all how the financial system is set up to manipulate us. And my message is, you know, just what, about 2 months ago, first part of October, suddenly our 401k became a 201k. What was the lesson there? It's all an illusion. Why are you focusing on making money? It is not going to bring you fulfillment. It is not even real. It can be taken away in the blink of an eye, and for many, it was. And what we want to do is get a new North Star, not about worshiping the almighty dollar, but rather about how we actually become star beings. That's the message of the ancients. That's what the original message of the Illuminati was before it was hijacked.
William, Jordan is very fearful, I think, of his life. I can hear it in his voice. I can see it in his eyes. You don't touch on things that are that controversial where you're concerned, do you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
so you are concerned.
Yeah, revealing the U.S. Capitol as a temple and blowing the lid off this whole story—that I honestly had not really reservations, but it's like, okay, life's an adventure. Be prepared is kind of my motto with this, and I'm recognizing I'm stepping on some serious toes here, but that's okay. I mean, it's the time for truth. It's time for the truth to be revealed. And as long as I'm aimed north and my intention is right, I feel like I'm going to be protected. And so I just don't go to the fear place that Jordan does. And that's his choice. And that's but, you know, again, Jordan's a great friend and I think a great man. Many of us would not be where we're at having this conversation today, at least without the influence of Jordan Maxwell laying this foundation for us to become symbolists and to see these symbols. Now, we can disagree about the ultimate meaning of them, but the point is you've got to get to first base and actually begin to see these symbols in order to find the truth in them.
He was telling us that he originally was the one who brought David Icke to the United States.
Yes, he was. And I think Jordan needs to get his props for that because, you know, David Icke is an echo or a resonant of Jordan Maxwell. And I think he's due his props for that. And again, I mean, I love traveling with Jordan because, one, he's got such a great sense of humor. And two, he's so incredibly knowledgeable, literally a walking encyclopedia. And without Jordan, you know, this whole idea of the occult symbolism, the hidden symbolism of America, would not be quite as an advanced science as it is today.
Next up, let's go to Canada. Ethan, your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Henry. I just want to say you're doing wonderful things, and it's nice to see someone using terms like walking the light and talking about what you're doing. It's nice to hear on a radio, you know.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you had done any work with Drunvalo Melchizedek. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right, or if you've met him.
No, I've never met Drunvalo Melchizedek. He's got some wonderful work on the Flower of Life. And
Yeah,
I'm familiar with him, but I've never met him. Would like to sometime, though.
Okay, and I was just wondering, I missed what you were saying about humans being used as batteries. I just came in the room when you finished saying that.
Yes, this is an ancient concept that the human body is a energy device, and that there are there is a race of beings that harvest this energy, especially fear-based energy, from our bodies. And as Jordan Maxwell points out, the whole economic system is set up based on this concept that money equals energy, and they're harvesting this energy from your body.
That's fascinating. Back with more calls next.